The following episode may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. Today's show is sponsored by Lakehouse Coffee and the Atlanta Coffee Supply Group, Atlanta's premium full-service distributor of hand-roasted coffee, premium iced tea, brewing equipment, and supplies for the hospitality and food service industry. Featuring proprietary brands like Lakehouse Coffee and Blue Durango Iced Tea. I've been drinking Lakehouse Coffee every morning and loving it. You know me, I don't bullshit, I wouldn't say stuff like that if I didn't like it. You may already be enjoying their brands of coffee and tea at Atlanta restaurants like Wahoo, South City Kitchen, Gusto, Dantana's, and many more. If you're a proprietor or decision maker in the restaurant or food service industry, reach out to these guys and start carrying these brands. If your favorite spot doesn't carry Lakehouse Coffee or Blue Durango Iced Tea, get on it and tell them the Atlanta Podcast sent you. Go to lakehousecoffee.com to check out all the restaurants they're currently being served at and learn more about them. That's lakehousecoffee.com. Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. This is your host, Matt B. Davis. Those birds are a-chirping. The rain is dripping. It's a rainy Wednesday West End kind of morning. I'm drinking the homebrew. Guys, I got to chill on the dunks. I got to be honest with you. So, if you don't already know, you can get this Dunkin' Donuts cup. It's a big plastic cup, and it's for the Atlanta United. I believe you know my feelings on that. But the cup is 99 cents for a medium refill, which is usually whatever that is, $2. This has given me an excuse to drive to Dunk's minimum of 3 times a day, and that's just too much. It's not good on the wallet. It's probably not good on the stomach. It's just not good overall, so I got to chill out. Today I'm committing to just drinking the homebrew, and then once this afternoon I can treat myself. I can leave the home office, get the you know, you break up the day, you get the coffee, you come back to your desk. That's it, though. I don't need to go fucking mental on the Dunks. I do love the Dunks, though. Shout out to Dunks. Perhaps we can get them to sponsor the show at some point. But, as you know, right now, you know who is a sponsor? You heard him before. Lakehouse Coffee. Fucking delicious homebrew. Getting a lot of good feedback on the King of Pops episode. If you've not heard that one, please go back and listen. It is not a surprise to anyone, as we all love the King of Pops, the food, the product, the ice cream, the popsicle. And so, of course, we would all love the interview. So thanks for that, Nick. Hope you're enjoying that podcast. Go back and do it. Had a fantastic interview yesterday with Grant, a.k.a. Sister Louisa of Sister Louisa's Church and Ping Pong Emporium. That's an upcoming episode. Lots of good stuff for you guys. On today's program, Molly Gunn from The Porter. Molly, as you'll find, I've met multiple years ago, but was reintroduced through Patrick, who has sent me a lot of guests. Thank you so much, Patrick. I really don't want to dilly-dally. We've caught up on the weather. We've caught up on life. This is an interview live from The Porter VIP room, whatever they call it, which you can rent for a mere $100. Away we go.
I used to work in Little Five Points.
Yep.
And I was trying to drum up the old business thing, and had lots of highs and lows with that, but that's where I first met you.
Yeah.
And you hadn't been open that long, maybe, back then?
I don't think so, yeah. So I think there was 1 year of Old Guard in 2008, and then I think, you took over shortly after, like,
I was so excited.
Or something like that.
But much like the people I just talked to you about with the podcast, like, you try really hard, and then you don't get anywhere, and then so you quit. Like, I was like, this isn't for me.
You try really hard, and you get a lot of criticism.
Well, like, I can take criticism.
But, I mean, it's not... Yeah, I guess. For me, I would rather do anything else with my life than spend it sitting in committee meetings.
Right.
So for me, when I like show up to those things and try and help, and then, you know, other people are like, you know, no, we don't get upset at the help that you're trying to give. I throw up my hands.
Well, it's interesting because I didn't learn. So I spent a year as the president of the Little Five Points Business Association. Yeah. Doesn't that sound impressive?
Yeah.
I should put that on my LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I didn't learn my lesson because the very next year I was living in Kirkwood at the time,
they
were like, "Do you want to get involved?" And I did, because I hadn't learned my lesson. And with there, it isn't as much being shut down as it's too much democracy.
They like, want to ask everyone everything.
Everybody's got a fucking opinion.
Yeah, dictatorship.
Everybody's got an opinion. Right. And so they're like, why should I listen to you, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, as an employer, right, you have a chain of command.
Yes.
You welcome different ideas, and some of them you might take on, and some of them you're going to go, you know what, this is the way we're going.
Yes.
And they're like, nobody will ever do that.
We are not a democracy.
Right? Right? And again, I think it's...
Tyrannies are very efficient for a reason.
Absolutely. Well, tyranny is the wrong word, but just a hierarchy, you know, a clear line of leadership. So again, I think the same thing with this was that, like, the big thing was, like, the festival, right? The Halloween festival, and I was like, they seemed to be happy that it wasn't making money, and I was like, you realize, guys, these neighborhoods are making, like, $30,000, $40,000. Like, we can really turn this into something.
Right.
And, you know, certain things would come up, and everyone had an opinion how it would go, and I'm like, all right, I don't want to be too much of a dick, but, like, I'm an entrepreneur.
Right.
And I kind of know what I'm doing. Like, I know, like, I have experience with this particular thing. Like, getting a good deal with a vendor.
Right.
Why don't you let me handle that? It's like, no, we should do this. And it's like, well, you just happen to be the person at the register at this store. It doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Right.
But, like, why don't we, like, get some deference to the guy who runs a business who might have a clue?
Yeah.
That's all. You know what I'm saying? Right. That was the stuff that was the most frustrating to me.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah, that's why I'm not on committees.
Right. But I do want to get to, like, what's happening in the neighborhood and what's it like and all that stuff. But I want to back up a little bit and find out how you got here. You own this place with your husband, right?
Yes.
I assume you're still together?
Yes.
So it's Molly and...
Nick.
Molly and Nick.
Yep.
And is Nick the quiet one? Because I don't even know you.
Yeah, so Nick is the chef. And chefs, you know, have... There's a whole host of stereotypes with chefs. And yes, he likes people far less than I do. There's a reason that he doesn't want to, you know, serve the food to the customers. He wants to, you know, he barely even wants to talk to his employees. Nick likes to get here at 5 a.m. and, you know, start the bread and have a few hours of quiet before the next employee comes in.
I saw some bread over there. Is that bread he started?
Possibly. Yep. So, so Nick is the chef and, we got married at the first Halloween festival that we're open. We had already planned the wedding before we signed the lease for this place.
So October 31st.
Not Halloween. Halloween festival.
Oh, so it's usually October a couple 17th. Weeks before.
Yeah,
October
17th. We had already chosen the date.
2008.
Yeah, that's when we opened, 2008.
Okay. Wow.
So we had already planned everything, booked everything before we signed the lease on this restaurant. And then once we got going, we were like, oh, shit, our wedding's on the first crazy busy day that the restaurant's going to be open.
And this space was a formerly what?
So this was Bridgetown. Most people know it as Bridgetown Grill, which is what it was for 10 years. Then it became a couple of other different bars, Mangrove Alley in between. And then it, most recently, before we opened, was a breakfast restaurant called Grandma Luke's Bakery and Cafe. And of course, no one gets up in Little Five Points before maybe 2 o'clock.
How long did
o'clock.
It take them to figure that out?
I don't know. They were only open 9 months. So,
But did they do any research whatsoever?
I don't know. Maybe they saw the Flying Biscuit down the street and they're like, oh, that does well. And it's like, no. People don't think of the Flying Biscuit as Little Five Points. That's Candler Park.
It is
Even
Candler
though
Park.
It's half a mile away.
It's by a bunch
very
of houses.
Different. Yeah, it's a very different world. Yeah, people don't walk to Little Five Points.
But if you spent 5 minutes on any morning between 9 and 11, these streets are empty.
Yeah, totally.
Anyhow.
It's when the bums sleep. You gotta leave, let him be. It's the only time there's not trouble at Little Five Points.
Right?
Yeah.
It's quite quiet around. Yeah. Okay, so, was this always the space that we're in? Right. Describe where we are, by the way.
So we are in the vintage beer cellar. We have over 500 different vintage beers skewed up on the shelf around here. We use it for private events. It's $100 to book it, which is incredibly inexpensive.
What a and then, value.
Yeah, and then everything else is you build based on consumption. So if you want to have intimate, you know, two-person dinner in here, pay $100 and just eat a regular dinner, you're welcome to. The room does hold up to 30, though. People. 30, you have to really like your friends, though. We recommend 25 as the magic number for sitting around the table.
But you can spend whatever you want on food? You just reserve them for $100?
$100 and
And what's
eat
the
off
deal?
The
Can I
menu?
Grab this like a wine and go, I'm gonna have an old Rasputin barrel aged?
Yes, absolutely.
Crack
you
it
could.
Open.
And our server, yep, your server will crack it open. You can drink it at this temp, cellar temp, which is about 62, or we can chill it down further if you like your beer super cold.
I'd like my beer chilled.
Yes.
To about 47 degrees.
Bring it to an ice bath and chill
and
it
what
down
degree
for
is
you.
It then?
And then it's, yeah, something.
Now I'm
going to
tell you something very sad, Molly. Are you ready?
Are you gluten-free?
That was so funny. I am not gluten-free, but I'm sober a really long time.
Oh, okay.
So I had the
guy. That's not that sad to me.
Well, here's the part that's going to be sad.
Gluten-free is more sad. At least you can eat
when
bread.
When people come in and say they're gluten-free, you just go, listen, just.
I'm like, we have a wide selection of ciders and like six gluten-free beers that I mostly don't think are delicious. So drink a cider or wine or mead. I have like three different other alcoholic beverages for you.
No, what I was going to say was I had, I'm so bad with people's names. My goodness. So I don't know how long you remember, like, but I have three kids now.
Right? Oh, okay.
And I feel like they've, probably when I met you, I had two.
Okay.
Maybe they were both small. Anyway, my memory has been
pulled out of your head
out of my brain.
Like
so,
string cheese.
Like, I'm literally like about to text someone and I'm like, this is my best friend. What's his name? Clayton. Okay. And then I have to type in the name. So I just spoke with Monday Night Brewing.
Uh-huh.
Now, I can't even think of his name, even though he's a lovely man. And we were talking, he was talking about, mm-hmm. I said, listen, I'm not a drinker, but why don't you describe kind of what's hot and what's hot. And so he described, yeah. And I'm like, trying to think of what, like the most current thing that came out uh-huh. when I was drinking, which yeah. was the late 90s, was like ice beer. Like, do you even
oh,
remember?
Oh, Smirnoff Ice?
Smirnoff Ice and Michelob, whoever the hell.
Ice,
like,
yeah.
But there was, craft beer was like nowhere in yeah. anybody's.
Not really.
Nobody's periphery in the late
yeah.
90s. I'm sure some things were open.
Yeah.
Maybe Sam Adams, but anyway. So like, there was, it would be nice to try different things to see what the old palate likes, especially now yeah. that I'm older, because when I was 20,
right.
it was like,
what can I afford?
Give me Budweiser.
Right.
Right. Is Budweiser on tap?
Yeah.
I'll have one of those.
Yeah.
It's a dollar in a big plastic cup, right? So anyway, let's back to this. So it seems like this is quite the deal on like just $100 for an event space.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a drinker, even just kind of a cool, well, let's have dinner.
Yeah.
Or
lunch.
What time do you open?
11:30 during the week.
And 11. I could reserve it even that
yeah.
early?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I think I might do that just for a cool.
Yeah, yeah, you have a cool lunch thing, group of people.
Right.
Yeah.
Now here's interesting thinking. I kind of wanted to get on your story a little more, but I'm also very ADD, so we'll just go where the old brain takes me.
All right.
You seem to do fairly well, and you know, my first thought was if I'm going to have 20 people meet here, and mm-hmm. if they're not familiar with the area,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, where the fuck do they park?
Well, if you're doing lunch, you're lucky. The parking behind us is still free, you know, and you walk around the building.
But you wouldn't even know to go there if you're not really familiar with the hood.
No. I mean, there's Pay Street parking, which is
you got to put that on
that evil.
But you don't, but that's not an issue for you. And like, let me ask you this. When you bought the place where you're like, okay, we're going to get plenty of walk by little Five Points people, or we're gonna try to, like, what did you think was gonna happen?
So despite living in the neighborhood, I wasn't quite as familiar with what the parking issues were in Little Five Points when I got the place as now. But I knew that Little Five Points was a destination, and to a certain extent, I knew that I could rely on people coming to the Variety, because once you commit and you buy tickets, you're going to spend the night in Little Five Points. And I was very lucky in that that assumption was mostly correct. We are a little bit of a destination on our own, and we also get a lot of out-of-towner business, and I'm very lucky that the out-of-towners mostly Uber here and Uber away,
but
which
Uber
is great.
Did not exist in 2008.
No, it did not exist in 2008, but now we're very lucky.
I hadn't even thought of that. That's an effing
yeah.
score.
But we're not that far from MARTA if you were really intrepid. And then if you're staying in a downtown hotel, you could get a taxi here. It's just getting you back to wherever you were going that was hard back in the day.
Right, but now they can Uber. But how
yeah.
does one... How does one in a downtown hotel for the Blah Blah Convention find you? Are you good on Google? Are you good on Yelp?
Yes, you put in bar in Atlanta, and we are the first result. And I know that because I got all kinds of calls from Patriots fans when we lost the Super Bowl, and it was very upsetting to me to get prank calls all day when I don't even have televisions or know what the result of the game was. I got all these phone calls I did not understand. Patriots fans really mean.
Why would they call you?
Because I come up when you put in Atlanta bar, we're the first result in Google, and so they're like, let's call and mock those. It must be a sports bar, just go mock those Falcons who had a whatever lead and lost the Super Bowl. It was really awful.
Hey, is this the Porta?
They're like, I want a table that can hold down a 20-point lead. Yes, exactly.
That is funny, not because it's a funny joke, but because it's you who know nothing about sports and just did a really bad Boston accent.
Right, it's awful in so many ways.
So, whoa. I have had nothing to drink and I almost fell quite
so
over.
These
now, did you spend good money on Google AdWords for that to happen?
No.
No?
No, it just
people
happens.
Hate you then.
I'm sure.
Really? Because that's a word people want.
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm here.
Look it up now. It may not.
Well, I'm here now, so it's going to be skewed because it's usually by location.
Oh, it is. I didn't know that.
I can't believe that's amazing. Now, the museum bar pops up. I don't even know where that is.
On
RDA. Oh, it thinks I'm at my house.
Oh.
Because the museum bar, that's my house is RDA. Let's type in Bar Atlanta. Google would like to use your location. Well, if it looks at my location, you're definitely. Dude, you're 4.5 stars out of 974 stars. You're 4.7. You're right above the Vortex and Manuel's Tavern. Dude, that's some fucking sweet real estate, bro.
I know.
Dare I say so. Now, and then there's several lists. 21 Essential, 17 Essential, 10 Best. Are you in all those?
I hope so. I'm on a
you
lot of lists.
You seem to not pay attention to any of that.
Really. I mean, I pay attention. When it comes out, I'm like, yay, we
made
a list.
Does somebody care? Does your husband care? Do you have a marketing team or a person?
No.
Wow,
I love it. We are within these four walls, and we try and put out the best possible thing within these walls.
I know, but so does everybody.
I know, but I'm awesome, so I just do a better job. I don't know.
All right. Okay.
Know.
All right. So I'm going to be a cynic here then.
Nick is awesome too.
All right. But let's go. I'll go one
go
level.
Go snake.
I'll go. What's that?
I said go snake.
I'm going to go snake, bro. Yeah. Good beer. American fair. Body. Okay. Like and I can get that 1,000 other places. So.
No, you can't.
Because
we have the best selection in the Southeast. Might I even say the world? I have traveled all over.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
World, and I have never found a place that has the same selection, that uses proper glassware, that has, and mostly it's the selection. Because you go to New York, right? And there's amazing places with great beer, but they don't have the space like this in Atlanta. You know, only in Atlanta can you afford to. You know, this room sits empty. You know, except for a couple nights a week when we book it out or whatnot. You can't afford that in New York. You go to Copenhagen, they're amazing bars, but like, you know, they maybe have 100, you know, beers.
What about Iceland?
Whatnot. Yes, I have been into Reykjavik. There are several bars there that have lovely selections.
First of all,
again,
I believe the
not.
J is silent.
Oh, it is? Oh,
I have also been there. That was really an excuse for me to totally name drop. I was in Reykjavik last year.
Yeah. But yeah, it's nowhere close to our, I mean, we have over 1,000 beers.
So people come here for the beer selection.
Selection and the proper service and the
So the proper
the
service means educated wait staff.
Yeah.
And not a paper cup.
Not a paper cup, true.
What should I be drinking my beer out of?
Whenever possible, the glass that the brewery produces that they want that beer served in.
Now we're getting hoity-toity.
Yeah.
So and so goes, look, this is best served in a
fancy tulip or a goblet. We're gonna try and
goblet.
Put it in that.
Put it in a goblet.
Preferably with a gold rim.
Right. Now, if I were a drinker and I said, "Hey, can we crack one of these and like talk and chat? Could we do that or no?"
Yeah, totally.
Oh, okay. Do you recommend?
I have to close tonight, so I would probably push back on that at this very second. But.
Right. All right. So, are you able to keep staff?
Yeah, we've been very lucky. We had. You know, you always have a certain amount of turnover in restaurants. We have several employees who have been with us for 10 years, and that's what we're celebrating this year, so our 10-year anniversary of being open. And then we're lucky. There's always like feels like there's three people that you just those positions turn over and over and over again.
Right.
And then we have a lot of people stay. You know, our front of the house staff make a very decent living wage. And, you know, we do our best with the back of the house staff. And you really have to love cooking and love what Nick's doing. We make as much as possible from scratch. So there's a lot to learn if you're working in our kitchen here. And I think that's the reason we keep staff in the back of the house.
How do you keep them from stealing from you?
I have cameras, and then I try to keep staff. You know, you pick up on things. We do inventory a lot. Believe me, it's super awesome to count 1,000 different beers. So
do they get? Is it pretty easy to get caught? Then is that what you're saying?
It is. You know, we keep counts on things. Those things get updated, so on and so forth. But I mean, I'm not saying that it's a perfect system.
Right.
When you have this much inventory, would be very difficult.
Right. Now you are in the
always perfectly pinpointed.
Right. Well, you are in like the booze industry.
Yeah.
So you want a certain level of people who have a few drinks, but not cokeheads? Is that sort of the line of...
For employees?
Where do you draw the line? I don't know. It's like you work at a bar. People, they sleep late. They get up. They drink. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
No. I definitely prefer employees, especially in the front of the house, employees who drink, because it is really hard to get your mind around.
That's what I was trying
otherwise.
To say.
But not, certainly not during work. There's, you know, a limit. You know, fine lines and stuff like that. But yes, definitely, having worked in fine dining, I've dealt with people who live on cocaine, and it's super not my favorite thing on earth.
Right.
So if I thought an employee was on cocaine, they would probably not be here very long.
They get
yes,
the door.
At all. No, most of my staff do enjoy marijuana and drinking.
And they should just legalize the marijuana at this point.
Really, they should.
Right.
And make life easier for everyone.
Right.
But yeah, if they did that though, I'm thinking I might go talk to Southern Star and be like, you guys don't really need all this space for tattooing. I think a little dispensary, we'll divide the space.
Right.
We'll see. Well, you know, we can work something out here.
Right. So we were
little dispensary. We'll just hop into the next little business here.
So we were talking about the neighborhood organization and how miserable that was, but I'm guessing that you know, you survive here for 10 years. One of the things is that you get along with your neighbor. So, like, who do you, like, roll with in this, like, hood? Like, are you tight with the variety people? You just happen to mention them?
I've met them a couple of times. You know, they had new, they were purchased. They have new owners.
But it's the same
the
staff,
couple
though.
Of years. Same staff,
it's what's
yeah,
his name
absolutely.
And what's her name?
Yeah, Christian, yeah.
You see how bad yeah. I am at this game?
You're super bad. I can't believe you survived in business this long. I mean, I'm not great. I'll be the first person to be like, I love you as a regular, and I've seen you for the last 6 months, and I have no idea what your name is.
Can I give you a little tip? This is proof that you can be really good at some things and really bad at others. I've shown up with, like, no battery, no disc, and been like, hey, I'm going to be right back.
Yeah.
You know, like, and have to run to the store because,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've just learned to accept that about myself. Do you know what I mean? Rather than be like, oh, I'm so disorganized. I just kind of like, all right, well. Let's. What can we do to solve this problem? If, right. In a worst case scenario, I can use my phone. Now, is it ideal? No, but
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you have things in business that's like you're really good at or bad at that you've just like delegated or that you don't really sweat?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Clearly, I'm not that good at delegation because that's why I only have one restaurant and like it that way. Yeah, I don't know. But a philosophical thing.
Yeah, why does the goal have to be 10 locations?
I know, exactly.
I'm being serious.
Be.
Like,
yeah. It doesn't have to be. A lot of people, so, you know, you get a certain amount of, you know, whatever, like Ford Fry has got centralized HR, one person who does it for everything, blah, blah, blah. There is a certain amount of things that make sense. You wear fewer hats as you get, you know, have more locations and whatnot. You could focus more. That's not terribly interesting to me. You know, like I said, I'm closing tonight. Like, sometimes it is nothing more satisfying than simply bussing a table.
Right.
You're like, it was dirty, and now it's clean.
It's very,
and there's some more, and more guests can sit there. All right, I did it.
It's very zen, right?
Yes, it's very zen, exactly. So that's what I like. I don't know about, it would be hard for me to think about what I'm bad at. I'm sure my husband would tell you that you have to watch me write things down. If he tells me to do something and I did not write down, he knows the conversation did not actually occur.
Right.
So, you know.
And you.
Memory issues.
And you. Okay, so we were similar there. By the way, now I do want to remember their names, the people that, like, the main guy and the main lady at Variety.
Well, Christian is the guy who seems to run everything that I see the most. I don't know who the lady is.
I know a guy named Christian that works there, but he's like younger.
Oh.
Maybe there's two Christians.
I don't know.
She used to be involved when we did the stuff. Anyway, she's the...
Okay.
Anyhow, different owners, but same management.
Yeah.
Whatever. and so the working with the spouse thing, not an issue, never an issue, sometimes an issue?
Well, certainly wasn't in the original plan. You know, Nick... It was not his dream to open a restaurant and have it be his forever. He, you know, was very happy working for other people to a certain extent. And then we, you know, I got the space and I was like, it's really cool. We didn't have very much money. So Nick is very handy. He started building it. Then I was like, sweet, will you write the menu? You know, help me kind of get it going. And then like, we'll get someone else in here to kind of execute the menu. And, you know, of course the second, you know, press came out and we were written about, his name was on it. And he was like, I can't ever step away. Now it's mine too. So there were definitely challenges in the beginning. It's hard. We were young, we drank a lot, which, you know, can make things very complicated. And we also don't have super traditional roles exactly. Like, definitely he's more in charge of the kitchen. I'm more in charge of the front of the house, but that doesn't mean that if somebody, you know, a server's messing up, that he won't, you know, point it out to them or whatnot. Management is not his favorite thing. So I definitely help out a lot with the, you know, the reviews and the staying on task or whatnot with employees, making sure paperwork gets filled out, basic things, people get paid, you know, even in the kitchen. And, you know, and then Nick also loves beer. So we both kind of have our stamp on the beer menu and whatnot. But yeah, it was challenging, but we made it through. And we also don't have any children. So this is like our child. And I really love not having to explain how much I work, you know, to my significant other, because he's never sitting at home being like, where is she? What is she doing? It's like, you know, she's contributing to the business, the baby. She's taking care of the baby.
Right.
So, so that's nice. And also Nick is an incredibly hard worker. I think it would have been impossible if I had someone who didn't, I felt, match my work ethic. But he does. And so that's that helps as well. Makes things easier. But yeah, we go on vacation a lot. And then we are just husband and wife. We are not business partners.
Where do you like to vacation?
We like a lot of places. I love Southeast Asia because I'm the person in charge of the budget. And when you go to Southeast Asia, you buy very expensive plane tickets and then you get there and you stay in like beautiful 5-star places for nothing. And when you get back, you're not surprised by anything on the credit card bill, as opposed to when you go to Europe, where you spend a lot of money getting there, then you eat in fantastic, very expensive restaurants. And then when you get home, there's this like credit card bill to deal with of like, oh God, we ate. It didn't seem that expensive at the time, but 2 weeks in Europe really adds up.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yes. So I got to go to China last year as well.
Ooh, awesome.
And I would sit down and I would get like huge lunch and a drink, like a soda.
Uh-huh.
And it was like the equivalent of $5.
Right.
I was like, this is the greatest.
This is awesome. I know. That's how I feel in Vietnam.
I've not been to that part of the world yet.
I highly recommend it.
Well, I usually go to some place where there's one of those obstacle races.
Oh, gotcha.
And as it expands, it has been in these places. I got to do one in Iceland and one in Asia.
Cool.
I went to Andorra. That was pretty cool.
I don't even know where Andorra is.
Andorra is a tiny country between France and Spain.
Oh, okay.
Where they speak their own language.
Like, not French or Spanish or anything else I've ever heard.
Well, they call it like Catalan, I think.
Oh, okay.
But like, you know how like if you go in like Europe and it's like everybody speaks English.
Right.
Not there. They're like holding on.
You're like miming. You're like, I want that.
Dude, here's what's fascinating. Okay, talk about technology.
Did you talk into your phone?
I talked into my phone.
And then I talked
into my phone and ask questions, and it was like I always thought I would get like an awkward phrase to answer, but like it would be dead on.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Like I would say it, show it to them, they would say back or type back, and I was like, no way!
It's in perfect English.
It's amazing. Yeah,
that's
amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like, but it's kind of like,
is that a Google app?
Yeah, it's called Google Translate.
Okay.
And you have to download it to the phone.
Before
because I forget, like it doesn't work
data
on Wi-Fi or
that,
whatever.
Or cellular.
It works.
Yeah. Cool.
But I think that's also not good because like once upon a time, guess what? Us dumb Americans might actually have to learn something.
Mm.
And I think it would be better if like I actually like learned a few phrases, but just pointing and being a lazy tourist.
Yeah.
All right, so where were
we? At least you went somewhere where they didn't speak English. I think there are plenty of Americans that don't even do that.
No, and it's interesting because I distinctly remember like just boarding the plane to come back home and like being greeted by like American on the plane, like welcome. And it was like, it's a shock to your system because you're so happy.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's gonna be so easy from here on out.
Right, exactly. Where the hell was I? Where the hell were we?
Little 5 points.
We
talk about how it's changed in 10 years and then also not changed at all in 10 years.
Right, let's talk. Are you always this funny, Molly? Do people say, that Molly, she's funny?
No, nobody ever tells me I'm funny. Really? I think mostly my staff laugh at me, not with me. But I don't know, I try.
Oh.
I'm bringing my A game today. It's a podcast.
Awesome. Did you see that I talked to Delia?
No, I didn't.
So
Delia is a hoot and a holler.
Are you kidding me? She's like my favorite lady.
She is awesome.
Yes. Like,
I cannot say enough good things about Delia.
Yeah, well,
she probably said nice things about me too, though. If I came up,
I think you came up only because I was trying to explain like how I heard how like when I first started going to Delia's.
Gotcha.
The first
place.
It was
because I was helping her out.
Right, but she's like easily one of my all-time favorite guests.
Oh, that's awesome! I want to go listen to it right now.
Do you listen to podcasts?
Not really.
Okay.
I listen to Marketplace on my phone.
Right.
On NPR, but that's it.
With Kai Rizdahl?
Yes, preferably.
Right. There are definitely people who listen to like 20.
Yeah.
But you're not
one
of those people.
I don't have that much time.
Right.
And I can't do anything else when I listen, really. Like, I can maybe cook, and that's occasionally when I listen to Marketplace. And I should listen to more, because I don't have a radio in my vehicle, so you would think I could listen to more. But I guess I just don't drive that much either.
Well, I'll send you the link if you decide to listen.
Okay.
And I had no idea how just awesome her story was and how awesome a cool chick she was, but, like, she instantly became one of my favorite people.
Yeah, right. That's awesome. Good
so care. Let's talk about how the neighborhood has changed and not changed.
Yes.
Here in L5P.
Yes. People are trying to organize it, and it's still not organized.
Is it still the dentist and the other guy?
Yeah, well, they certainly have enough time to come to all the meetings. Dr. Shapiro and Scott Pendergrass, is that maybe who you're thinking of? And then...
And old crazy Dave, right?
Dave. I've not seen Dave at too many meetings, but like I said, I'd rather, do anything else in the world besides attend those meetings. So I haven't been to too many lately. But it seems like people are trying to get more organized. They've been talking recently about trying to make the parking back here private, which, is mixed feelings about it. I hear tale about some parking deck where Bass Lofts are. I don't know if that's going to actually happen.
They've been talking about that for 20 years.
Yeah, I know. And then there's the CID, which like says they have money, and then they ask me for money, and I'm like,
CID?
I thought you had money. Yeah, there's a CID. I don't know what that stands for.
But neither do I.
But it means that there's money somewhere. Somebody told me that the CID means that there's money.
Okay, I'm going to Google Atlanta CID.
It's a Little Five Point CID. They're by different neighborhoods or something like that, and they get funded.
Little Five Points. This is exciting for the listeners to hear me Google. Little Five Point CID. Plans are ready to redesign Finley Plaza in Little Five Points, and your input matters. The Little Five Points Community Improvement District.
That's it.
Here's what's strange. Ooh, who is behind this?
District.
This looks like a whole new thing.
It is a fairly new thing. Some of the same people are on it, like Scott Pendergrass, Don Bender. They're the landlords that
I was going to say, they fucking own everything.
Yeah. Not everything, but they own a lot of it.
I'm sorry, I'm going to just read this really quickly. Represents the relatively small over the last 45 years, blah, blah, blah. Just consider how much happened.
I think they were trying to get an MOU through, which is something of understanding with the city to take over Finley Plaza so then they could renovate it.
So I saw this random structure with an ad on it in front of the pizza place. Did you see that?
In front of Lil Five Pizza?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
It looks
that.
Like a kiosk, like maybe it's an ATM machine or something. It's completely random, but it's like a permanent thing. It's not just like made of like paper. And on it was like some advertising, like for but it looks like it's rotating ads for whatever it is. But
weird.
I don't know how the hell they got it approved to just be sort of
in
looks
in the middle of the sidewalk. That's so weird.
I wish now I took a picture of it because it's completely random.
Yeah. My landlord was upset by the corporate advertising that's on the side of. A clothing warehouse. She's like, who's getting the money from those ads? I'm like, I'm sure whoever owns that building or the clothing warehouse is getting the money. Like, I think it's their real estate. But she's like, Little Five Points looks so corporate.
What does it say on it?
It's an ad for SunTrust Bank.
I can't even think that I've noticed it.
I know. Well, they try to make it look graffiti.
No, of course.
Cool,
of course. That's
the
move.
That's the look.
Yeah, like whatever it was, like 10, 15 years ago, somebody figured out, like, wait a minute, there's like, all this like people looking at walls that are graffiti, we could fucking sell some
ad space. Yeah,
so they started
it's
doing
true.
That right
it's true. The summer that we opened, who approached us? It was the company that makes the photos, Polaroid. Great. Polaroid approached us and wanted to put up this huge thing in front of the porter's window where people could take pictures and stick them up there on this board. And I was like, yeah, we're not going to be open until September. Sure, you can rent in the front of my
and they did?
Building. Yeah, they rent, you know, for a couple $100 a month or something
sweet.
Like that. Yeah, I was like, sweet. I'm already making money off this deal. Not really.
Things are only going up from here.
Yes. I'm signing this lease.
All right, so forget the urban planning stuff. I just mean sort of the
vibe.
The, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, we still got lots of homeless people. We've had our ups and downs with crime, and I think it's always about the same. People like to freak out more when something more scary happens, but it's really on average, I think it's about the same. You know, don't leave valuables in your car, blah, blah, blah. I think that I feel like every time I feel like, yes, we've got all these great stores and they're going to stay here, then everything starts to turn and flip. Something happens with retail in Little Five where things nothing stays for super long. Maybe that's just retail in general. Maybe it's because we don't have big corporate people that stay forever or have the money to weather the hard times. I don't know. It's very interesting. Retail changes. The bars and restaurants were here.
Well, so that was the thing that I kind of learned when I was trying to do stuff was that, and Uber wasn't even around. But like, well, how do we get more people to come here?
Yeah.
Because especially if you come here multiple times, right?
Right.
If you come to a convention,
right,
and that same convention's here next year, or they rotate them like yeah. Orlando, Dallas, Atlanta, like, okay, I've done the Cook Museum and the aquarium.
Right. Yeah.
I'd like to do some stuff.
Right.
And I'd like to go out to drink besides.
Right. Hooters or whatever the hell's down there.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Hard Rock. So like, how can we like, and like, that's the, that like, you need good people who like who are good at like getting on the Google and the social
right.
media and like
yeah.
so it becomes a thing that these hotels know about too, not just like it's another flyer
yeah,
in the like thing. Here's the 20,000 things you can do. And that's the fight that no one seemed to really care about as
yeah.
much. They just kind of seem to be like, well, we're busier in the summer and slower in the winter, so that's just the way it's gonna be.
And I'm the opposite of that. That's funny to me.
You're slower in the summer?
Yeah.
Because?
I think because, well, we get those few weeks of nice weather. I think my regulars go out of town, and then I think we get some tourist traffic, but not enough to make up for the fact that, like, the neighborhoods around here are traveling, the wealthy.
Interesting.
Hinden Parkers and Kindler Parkers. That's my guess. I don't know. It also could be because occasionally it's not so hot that you want to rip your eyes out and you want to sit on a patio. We don't have a patio at the Porter Beer Bar. Atlantans are very, you know, patio.
Right. Centric.
Whatever. Yes, patio centric. If it's possible, they will want to sit on a patio.
Right.
And we have lots of neighbors who have patios, but we do not.
Right.
Yeah. That's okay. I don't know how to staff a patio. We tried to have one last year. It was too hard. It would rain. You would set it up, and then it would rain.
So
and
you would just like, stick your tables out there and pray for not to rain, and then
yeah,
it would.
Yeah, we had a permit through Little Five Arts Alive to like put tables out certain days. You know, it was weekends or whatever, and so we would. And the second week I would set up, it would rain, and then the server would be all upset because they did all this work to set it up, and now didn't make any money. And I was like, oh yeah, this is not fun. Let's just be an indoor restaurant.
Okay.
So we're good with that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm always kind of fascinated with, like, and I don't get here that often now, so I'll see, like, oh, that opened, oh, that closed, or that,
yeah.
Like, I was surprised, so I used to be in the building above Bombay,
uh-huh.
and the place next to Bombay, which I can't think of the name of it.
420.
Yeah, and I was surprised that now that's part of Wish.
Yeah. Wish seems to be doing very well.
Yes.
And they
sneakers are a thing.
But they've also diversified. So what's now that little space that they took over that was a head shop now is like an art gallery. And so they had some big event the other night, on a Friday night that let out at about 10 or 11. And I think there maybe wasn't a show at the Variety. Anyway, suddenly my dining room went from 0 to 60. And I was like, where did you guys all come from? And they're like, oh, we were at this art thing at Wish. It's super cool. And I'm like looking, you know, very artsy, young, cool kids. And I'm like, that's so awesome. Where the hell did you park in Little Five Points? That's okay. You made it. Doesn't
right.
matter. I hope your cars don't get towed.
Right.
Wherever you parked.
Right. And so but, like, and I remember when the head shop next to Dave's, like, Indian store, the hookah hookup, whatever, when
oh,
they came
yeah.
in, I was like, yeah, that's what we need, another fucking head shop. And what do you know? They're still here. It's 10
yeah.
years later.
They have a lot of locations, hookah hookup does.
Oh, okay, so they're
yeah.
a thing.
They're a thing.
And then whatchamacallit went away, which I was surprised, but I guess it's because they went bankrupt? American Apparel?
Oh, yeah, they went bankrupt.
Because they were like our
yeah,
first...
Yeah, they closed all their locations.
They were like the only kind of quote-unquote national chain that we even
yeah.
had.
Except for Starbucks, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't count Starbucks.
Yeah. As part of Little Five Points, or
I mean,
as a national chain. I definitely think it's one of those things.
It's definitely a national chain. Starbucks are everywhere, and it's not even in the middle of Little Five.
It's not in the middle of Little 5 Points. It's so true. American Apparel was, and it seemed like a big chain. But it was kind of like a big chain-y chain.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, they went bankrupt. They sold all their assets to Gill Brand, and they closed all the stores.
And then the place that can never seem to stay open is sort of, I think, catty corner from
the space that was Sweet Lime and now is.
But even before Sweet Lime, it was like a taco place.
Yeah, well, it was Sweet Lime Sushi, and then, yeah, it was like a Korean taco place
right.
for a second, and then it was like an Ethiopian restaurant for the last 5 years or some 4 years, 3 years, something
really?
Like that. Yeah. And now it's becoming Candy's Hookah Lounge.
And another Hookah Lounge. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah, I'm always just kind always kind of like surprised or not surprised when I see stuff coming and going.
There's a fair amount of turnover. But I mean, to a certain extent, that's good. I mean, I hope that, you know, it can be so hard for small independent business owners to get a lease, you know, with a corporate entity. You know, they want hundreds of thousands of dollars and whatnot. And that's one of the things I think, for better or for worse, Little 5 Points has a lot of independent landlords who are willing to, you know, accept, I think, people who maybe don't have enough cash flow to make it through or whatnot, but that's a good American, you know, up by the bootstraps.
Well, no one wants it to become Gap. I mean, that's
right.
Like, no one wants that.
No, nobody wants that, yeah. But also, I think it's good to, you know, allow people to take a risk. There should be risk. You know, yeah, it doesn't have to be the multimillionaire coming in and
right, but like, here's,
well, they would want to buy the building.
But here's what's also happened in the last 10 years. The East Side in general has, like,
blown up.
Ka-ching, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting too. Yeah, so I'm now competing against Hampton and Hudson as a beer bar. There's so many effing beer bars around.
Do we need another something and something?
Do we
need a fucking another hipster something?
Or more Ford Fry. There's three Ford Fry restaurants now that are in Inman Park.
What are they?
So there's Super Rica and Krog Street. There's Beetle Cat. Okay, excuse me. There's only two Ford Fry restaurants in Inman Park. But, you know, and what's with Beetle Cat? Oh, there's a Bread and Butterfly, which is Billy Allen from Cakes and Ale. Fancy, nice places that you can get your car valeted. Yeah, something and something. Bread and Butterfly.
Cakes and Ale.
Cakes and Ale.
Well, but that's interesting. That's interesting, though, because, like, what's good and bad about Little Five is that it is kind of landlocked, right? So you're not like, it's not like get off the 20 or get off
right.
the 75.
Right.
You're kind of, so I feel like I don't like, it seems like it is a destination to itself. So it's like, are you competing with like the Kirkwood bars, right? Like if you live in Kirkwood,
I don't know.
Do they wanna, if they're gonna leave their house and they can walk to it? Yes. That's a very like, let's sit on the porch at,
right.
at El Mariachi.
Right.
But if it's not nice out or whatever, and they want to get in their car and they want to like, oh, we've been there 3 nights this week, let's
right.
get outdoor. Like, so it's interesting to even think what neighborhoods you are competing with, since so much of the East Side is kind of blown up.
Yeah, it is. It's true. People are very into their Beltline locations these days.
Right.
Yeah, which I get why, but yeah. I'm hoping it becomes more substantive, less trendy.
But if you've survived this long, and restaurants in general like have like a shelf life of like 4 to 6 years, or I don't know, what's the average business open?
I know that, so Savannah Distributing, one of my distributors, told me that their average length of account is 7 years.
Mm-hmm. So you've beat that.
7 years. So I beat that. That's good. Yeah, they say that Mexican restaurants last. They're like, if you're ever going to open another restaurant, open a Mexican restaurant. They never close.
You can eat Mexican 7 days a week.
And be super happy with life.
Right?
I agree. In fact, we for April 1st last year, we became south of the border. We didn't really feel like Little 5 Points had enough Mexican.
South of the border?
Between,
that's adorable.
Between El Bandito, El Mir, what's the other Mexican restaurants we have? Pure Taqueria.
You didn't.
Super Rica.
You should have advertised
that more.
There just
wasn't enough. We did. It was south of the Porter for one day. We sold a lot of Corona. Not really. It was Ballast Point, but they're owned by Corona. So
great.
It was super.
Did you disguise the
fun.
Bottles?
We didn't. We just had a tap takeover with Ballast Point, which is owned by Corona, and you know made the
that sounds so
funny.
Cool.
So,
south
yes.
of the Porter
serves the Mexican food for the day.
I love puns. I do.
Well, it was funny.
All right. Well, what are you gonna do to stay open?
Gonna keep doing what we do well. That's it. Not spend money on marketing.
Well, honestly, there are and listen, I'm not somebody, you know, that works for one of these marketing agencies is like, oh, you've got to do this, this, and this. Like, right. I'm not saying that, but it seems like you should do some. And if you're getting what you're getting without any of it, then awesome. And bully for you. You're doing a lot of things right.
Social media.
No, like, but I'm saying,
resolution is to take more pictures this year.
Do you have an Instagram account?
Yes.
Who keeps that up?
My GM keeps that up.
Okay, does he or she do a good job?
I think so. The pictures look pretty.
Okay.
We probably don't post enough on it, but we do pretty good.
You don't have to, like, go nuts with it.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Porter. Yeah, dude, you're doing everything. You do seem to be doing everything right. So just full steam ahead.
Don't look back. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Here's a new post. Oh, they know what they're doing. They know they got some good. They got some good hashtags.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's the part I don't understand. So when he was like, "We should be on Instagram," I'm like, "Cool, I'll keep doing Twitter and Facebook." Yay!
Yeah, well, Instagram is really where it's at now, and they're doing a good enough job. You don't need to be perfect at it. All right, so it's now time for the Atlanta podcast quiz. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready. What happens if I fail?
What is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
Oh, smothered and covered. As large as possible.
So just big old hash browns?
Big old hash browns, yeah, that's it.
No eggs, no nothing?
No, nothing.
No waffle, no pancake?
Yeah, don't touch any of that other stuff. I know the hash browns are safe. They come out of the freezer and into the deep fryer. Or the little...
You can get them steamed, you know.
Oh, God, that's terrifying.
They're slightly healthier.
Because that's what I need at Waffle House when I'm there at 3 in the morning.
Slightly.
You don't drink, but if I'm at Waffle House...
It's 3 in the morning.
I
used to go a lot at 3 in the morning. Yeah. Now I go, like, after a race, like in the afternoon. Yeah. After I've run a race, I want to eat a
greasy,
good crappy meal. What is your favorite restaurant in Atlanta? That's not the Porter.
That's not the Porter?
Besides the Porter or south of the Porter.
So probably Fridi.
Next to Soto.
Eat a lot of pizza there, yeah. But let me think, that's a hard question, favorite restaurant.
How about this, I'll let you choose, you can choose either not so expensive and a more pricey, or you can choose like a breakfast and a dinner. Like, I'll let you give you a couple
more
options.
I don't know if that helps any.
or just say whatever the hell you want, because there's really no rules.
So I also really like Poor Hendricks. That's kind of in your neighborhood. I guess it's East Lake more.
I'm in the West End now.
Oh, I thought you said you were in Kirkwood.
I can't afford Kirkwood anymore.
I thought you were in Kirkwood.
I'm now with the regular people.
Regular
in West
people?
End, which is also
where
becoming.
What's West End?
The exact opposite of the East End. Get on 20 and stay on it. Do you know where the West End Mall is? Do you know where the stadium is?
Is it near like Monday Night Garage? Is that the West End?
I could throw a rock at the Monday Night Garage.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Have you been
there? I have been there.
Okay.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm happy that, you know, that neighborhood seemed to, not that I know that neighborhood well, clearly, but it seemed like they needed something fun like that.
Right. But we're in this place and we don't have to get into it, but we're in the, like, how do you improve and not become the ugly G word?
Yeah.
How do you improve it? How do you improve the neighborhood but not become Kirkwood?
Mm.
That's
I don't know. Isn't it already going that direction?
No, it's going that direction. It'll be a long time.
Okay.
It'll be a while before it's actually Kirkwood.
Gotcha.
Because even Kirkwood took a long time.
Yeah. No. It takes time.
So, all right, let's move on.
Thanks. Okay.
Let's move on.
Yes.
Rank these in importance to you. This one's going to be really good. Are you ready?
Okay.
Braves, Falcons, Hawks, United. Rank those in importance to Molly.
I'm going to do Braves, United, and then the Birds, whatever those, Hawks and Falcons. I don't even know which
and
one
then
goes
the
to
birds.
Which team.
No one has said that. That is awesome. That I hope I remember that, because that is one of the greatest answers.
Yes, that's the order of business that those teams bring me.
That was, they bring you business?
Yeah, well, I used to get more when the Braves were closer, but my husband is a Braves fan, so they'll get first. And then the United, the soccer team, brings me lots of business.
Right.
Yes, people need a place to leave Brewhouse from before and after the games.
Got it.
Brewhouse gets so crazy.
I thought you meant the stadium.
I mean, people come to pregame too.
You guys don't hang anything, do you?
What do you mean?
You don't have anything signs up that say United or anything.
No, right? No.
Because that would be like a yucky sports bar.
Yeah, no, we'd no.
Right. No, okay. What's your favorite festival in Atlanta?
So I like Halloween Festival in Little Five Points the best, because that is fun and crazy and I make a lot of money. And then next favorite is Inman Park Festival, because I live in Inman Park and that's super, super fun as well. Though okay. I wish they didn't just serve Sweetwater. That's okay.
Okay. What's the best concert that you have seen in Atlanta?
Oh, man. So I don't watch a lot of music. I did see, I'm going to have to remember their name. See, it may not be your favorite concert if you can't remember the name of the band. So I like the Tabernacle a lot. The Variety is also amazing. I guess I saw the new Pornographers at the Variety. That was pretty awesome.
Okay.
How about that?
That's good. Now, I'm starting to add some new questions to it.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, I've forgotten some of them, so I'm going to refer
to... testing them? Mars Volta, that's who I saw at the Tabernacle. That was fun. And they moved it.
Okay, here we go. You ready for this?
Yes.
This is my new question.
New question.
Do you shower every morning or every night?
I don't shower every day.
Okay. Finish the sentence. I take Marta blank.
I take Marta to the airport. I take Marta downtown to jury duty. I don't like parking down there. I don't like to have to lose money going to jury duty. Those are pretty much the two times I take Marta.
Okay.
Go to Decatur.
And the final question
yes.
is, who should I have next in the Atlanta podcast?
Oh, man. Characters around Atlanta. See, and you already interviewed Delia. So I have a bartender, Rebecca Royster, who is super interesting in that she worked for me for a long time, then she went and worked for Orpheus Brewing Company, and now she wants to open her own distillery, and she's looking at places in the West End, and she's just very interesting and cool. She's in business school right now. She always has like 20 million jobs going on and different things, and she seems to know a lot about Atlanta. She grew up in Atlanta, and she's cool.
All right. Well, this concludes the quiz.
Excellent. I passed.
Thanks.
I'm giving myself my own grade.
Wasn't that lovely and enjoyable? Thank you so much for tuning in. As I have mentioned, many, many more wonderful episodes coming up in the Atlanta podcast. Who do you want to hear from? You can drop me a note, mattbdavis@icloud.com. You can also send me a note on Facebook. I am Matt B. Davis on all of the platforms in the social world. Would love to hear from you, hear what you're liking, what you're not liking, etc., who you'd like to hear, etc., etc. Have a great week, everybody. I have got to run.